You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 36. I'm Logan.
And I'm Jackie. And this week we talked with Anna Mihalik, who is the coordinator of planning and outreach over at George Washington University. And she's also a part-time grad student there. She's earning her master's in higher education. And it's really cool. Anna's position is actually really unique. She's kind of a nice crossover between marketing and student affairs, which is really cool because now she's basically getting a glimpse into both sides. She works kind of as a nice liaison for those people. And she was telling us about GWU's vice provost and dean of student affairs, who has a really awesome Twitter presence, and they do what's called a colonial chat, which was semi-inspired by SA Chat, which many of us actually participate in.
Another interesting aspect of her position is she's a liaison with development. So she has kind of a fundraising aspect to her job. So we actually talk about a crowdsourcing fundraising campaign that I did at Belmont called Bruins for Bruins. And you can see a video from that below. And we talk about social media and how it impacts fundraising. We also talk about some other interesting things like Snapchat, and we kind of end it with Periscope because Jackie and Anna had never really used it before. So if you want to watch the video of that, that's also below. So we hope you enjoy this episode and subscribe to us.
Had our student org leader training this morning, and I did the SA grad Twitter chat right before this, so I was in the zone.
Oh my god, you're like so
and the chat was about student leader training, so kind of came full circle.
Wait, were you like moderating, or you were just participating?
I was just participating in the chat today.
So if you were moderating, that'd be, I mean, not that it's not cool that you weren't participating, but to moderate would be like, that always seems stressful though. Like, I would not want to moderate a chat like that.
So we do that. That's what I help do at GW, is to moderate, we call it colonial chats with our Dean of Student Affairs. And basically students can tweet in questions. We usually pick a topic for it. And we started it like last year. So it is kind of, when people participate, I feel pretty natural about it. But people come in and they're like, this is so intense. There's something about it being live and getting like a lot and people paying attention to it with a specific purpose that just adds a level to it that people
get excited. Yeah, that's exactly why we don't do this live.
Live is stressful.
Live is stressful.
Live is stressful.
There's a lot of ums and you can't.
That is true. My my time hop for the day, I think it was either today or yesterday, was my, I saw that I tweeted like that I participated in my first ever SA chat, and I was like, such an SA chat dork about it too. I had like all of these questions. It was about commuter students versus traditional students and like welcoming them in the community. And so I went through my time hop and it was like a bazillion tweets long because it was all of my nerdy SA chat tweets.
That's so funny. But SA tweets show up on my time hop too.
Yeah, it's like hilarious. And then I go through and like read the conversations I was having with people and was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. It's kind of cool. I don't know.
You kind of like realize, oh, I'm kind of smart. I sounded smart in 140
years. Wow, those were
so insightful. Idea.
It's like, yeah, good job, Pass Jackie. Like, pat on the back for that. Well, before we get deeper in the episode, you should probably introduce yourself because we haven't done that yet. So
yeah, I hit record about 2 minutes ago.
I figured you did look in.
Great. Perfect. For me?
Yes, you.
Totally. Okay.
They don't care about us. They don't come for us. They come for the guests.
Okay, great. Well, my name's Anna, and I work at George Washington University in the Division of Student Affairs. Work there for about 2 years now, since 2013, and I'm also a part-time grad student in the Higher Education Master's Program. So I'm doing that on the side. My main role is to help coordinate fundraising and communications efforts for the division. So basically, I'm the liaison to external relations and development to let them know what
our priorities are, what our key messages are, and how we can promote student affairs. That's part of it. Oh. Yeah, it's a different kind of role for student affairs.
It is a different kind of role for student affairs.
Yeah, really, our department has assessment, fundraising, and communications all in one department. Okay. And sometimes you see those separate in student affairs, but mm-hmm. putting them together, I think, has made sense for us in order to kind of, if you're going to assess something, you want to communicate about it, your results.
Right.
Otherwise, it's just existing in a bubble. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard assessment in development. I've never heard them mm-hmm. in the same world. That's interesting. That's got to be a unique experience then. That's really cool.
It's great, especially because it's my first kind of higher ed specific role out of college. I went to William & Mary and graduated in 2012. And so I worked for a bit, but knew I wanted to get into higher ed. And so finding a department that would allow me to get to know the entire division really helps me in getting to know what is student affairs and what are the different parts of student affairs I can be involved with.
That's cool. Do you see yourself in a similar role, like after you finish your master's degree?
Yeah, I'd love to stay, especially working in the communications part of mm-hmm. student affairs and how we communicate with students specifically. I think any university external relations office, that's more for the outside of the community. But how are we really using those same type of business tactics to analyze our conversations with students on social media and find those get those students connected to the resources that we're putting out there? It's like we have to market ourselves to students in so many ways, even more so than usual, or how it has been in the past. So
there's a huge marketing component. There's a huge marketing mm-hmm. component to student affairs. A lot of people don't necessarily think about that, but you got to get their attention.
Yeah, right. Even like the counseling center needs to market, the mm-hmm. dining services needs to market themselves, especially in DC where there's so many options for other things to go to or other services. And a lot of students are feeling like, oh, I can just go out into the community and make connections, which they totally can. But I think doing that through your school to help those connections form is even more meaningful and powerful in the end.
Yeah.
So that's something we try to focus on. So that's how the whole Twitter chats, Colonial Chats, mm-hmm. started.
That's so cool.
Our Dean of Students, Peter Konworski, is known as the Dean of Tweeting at GW. So he already had a large Twitter presence. Students will tweet him about anything, you know, just to get their room, like, AC turned on. Right. Or,
really?
You know, some complaints, just talking about GW in general, and he just does such a great job. He does all of his own tweeting and responding to them. So we wanted to find a way to kind of get the persona to help work with our different departments that want to get in front of students on social media too.
Was that like his idea? Like, was he like, I want to be on Twitter, like I want to be the face? Was that brought to him? Like, how did that start?
Sure. So he's already had his own persona presence on Twitter for a long time.
Right.
When I started there 2 years ago, I started really getting involved in essay chats and all these other things I saw a lot of in student affairs. And I thought it would be a great model to bring to students, especially just utilizing his presence that could help bring more followership to other departments that would participate in the chat. Mm-hmm. So our first one was about stress management during finals. That was a great way to get those resources out there. And then students could tweet in with their own study break habits and their own questions and their own concerns. And then we've done a few since then on career. It was career month this month at GW. So we talked about tips for the career fair. We could talk about connecting with alumni and a few other things, you know, topics. We try to generate them from the student community. But we know that when we're trying to facilitate these, you kind of have to, in a sense, create your own little bubble first of people you know are going to participate.
Right.
And know that, all right, you get the word out beforehand. Hey, would you mind participating in this? Even if they're not your actual guest.
Right.
They're kind of knowing that they're there to participate.
So you grabbed like your student leaders on campus and was like, listen, you're going to do this.
Hey guys.
You're going to take part in this.
Hopefully. And usually they've been pretty receptive to, and they've found being a part of it has been helpful to them as well. So we're growing it. We've had more alumni recently, which has been great too.
for students to connect and make that kind of online resource that they can already start networking via Twitter.
Do you guys do much with alumni relations when it comes to your development kind of stuff?
Yes. So that's a big part of what I do in my role,
right,
is connecting with alumni relations. So we have alumni weekend coming up where we're having a few different student affairs types events. For example, alumni can go back to their freshman hall and take a tour. They can visit a new residence hall that we're building at GW and get a behind-the-scenes hard hat tour. They connect with their affinity groups, like their student organizations.
Right.
And we've really tried to work with alumni relations to get them to promote the student org events a little more. At first, they were a little hesitant, but once we explained, you know, how we would vet the process and how we could, you know, they don't have to do anything. They just have to put it on their website. So then once they saw the aspect of how alumni can connect with those student organization events and it's easy for them to do that, they got on board.
Yeah. Wow, that's really neat. That's an interesting way to engage your alumni.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's really cool. I think we've also started to engage alumni more with our student affairs in general by having an advisory council. Mm-hmm. So we created this group of alumni and parents to come back, and part of their responsibility is to make a financial contribution, but a part of it is to give advice on what the types of programming we're having in student affairs. So a lot of different of this, we're really trying to approach student affairs more how the schools are treated at our university. They have their own development officers. They have their own advisory councils. So them on par with how the office of, you know, the Columbian College of Arts and Sciences operates is what we're trying to do too.
That's interesting. It's a very decentralized/centralized approach.
Yeah, it's centralized still because I'm not a direct fundraiser.
Right.
So I'm the liaison to the annual giving department and all the other mini departments within development. You know, we're constantly meeting with corporate relations, with digital strategy to develop crowdfunding techniques.
Right.
And stuff like that. So it's centralized in that way, but at least we're trying to give it our own slant and give it our own.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I find interesting about it is that you have representatives in each area, but at the same time, the money's still generated in the same place. It's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, it's clearly working. So
hopefully, it's built over the past few years. We've seen a lot of progress.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And especially, I mean, it's less than 5 years old, like this initiative, right? You said it's 2 years. So
yeah, in my position. Yeah. It was brand new. I was the first one in it to kind of help manage these projects along with my supervisor.
Oh, cool.
So, and it's also good timing. GW's in a $1 billion making history campaign. So we want to get some of that money too.
That's cool.
$1 billion are coming in.
Yeah, seriously. That's cool.
Let's let it go to student affairs.
That's neat to be a part of something like big like that. Like, you know, like a big change like on campus in terms of kind of how all of your departments are talking to each other on that level.
Yeah, my that's department, what I love about it.
My department was University Marketing and Public Relations was just last year brought under a new vice president of development and external relations. So we live in and with development, which is interesting because I got to do my first development campaign along with our annual giving folks. And we wanted to raise $50,000 in a week on social media, and we ended up raising like $78,000. So win. So yay. It was actually pretty awesome. I wasn't sure how that would work. It's called Bruins for Bruins. Wasn't sure how it would work. Cause nobody'd ever done anything like this at Belmont before. And it was certainly my first time ever doing it. And, it was a huge success. We got some moderately famous people to help out. We got a few people to tweet it out that are alums. Some of those alums that are pretty awesome raised a good amount of money, and it went to student like projects and stuff. So students going to like competitions, doing research, all that kind of fun stuff. Hello, Kaylee.
I was gonna say, I hear a cat.
Yes, that's Kaylee.
Hey, Kaylee.
It's usually Jackie's cat, but this time one of mine has shown up.
My cat is all the way in the other room.
This is cat number one.
That could just be in the next podcast episode, is them talking to each other.
We've had a lot of actually animals on this podcast. Like, people have been dog sitting, and like their cats show up, or like their dog shows up.
My fish is always here, but I think he doesn't make a lot of noise.
We should have an animal episode, I think. Like, everybody, like higher ed social animal version, where all of our animals show up to the podcast.
The background. Fortunately, I don't have a pet because I live in an apartment in DC, but I do. I have toyed with the idea of putting a pillow pet on my Roomba and letting it kind of just move around. And
yes.
Feel like I.
Why would you do that when you could just put an iPod on there?
iRoomba? I put it under it. It would be iRoomba.
I forgot.
Slash pillow pet.
What was it called?
Oh, you would have to, like,
what does he call it on Parks and Rec?
DJ Roomba.
DJ Roomba.
That's it.
Love Parks and Rec. It's such a good show. No, you would have to load up like animal sounds on your iPod and like hide it in the pillow pet. So if it was like a cat pillow pet, it would like meow as it like went around. It'd be so great.
That'd be a perfectly good use of an iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm. But just make sure if you're going to pretend that you have a cat, you have to have it roll all over your face while you're sleeping, because that's the ultimate cat experience. It's really annoying.
Actually, it's my cats never do that.
My cat is like, oh, you're sleeping? Let me just walk all over you. Meow, 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 meow.
Perfect.
Time to play.
That's funny. No, I did want to ask about how you use social in your campaign, because whereas using a specific hashtag and people would match it if you retweeted, or how are you raising funds? Just sending the link out?
Well, we hit it. We did it during spring break, so it would have minimal impact on news and all that kind of stuff, because students are off campus. We used... used Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, not that it did anything, and LinkedIn to do stuff. And we sent out emails. We also had videos every day that we took of with students, with faculty, with parents, a couple of our alums. The first video that we did had Charles Esten, who is deacon on ABC's Nashville. Yeah.
He's a William Mary alum, too. That is really cool.
Rayvon Owen was on American Idol at the time, and I think he tweeted something out. Who else? We had a few other folks. But what's interesting is that the thing that generated the most, I think, was students saying, hey, I'm doing research on antioxidants, and I'm going to the American Chemical Society meeting, and your dollars are helping me go there. You know, those kinds of things, like, really did it, so... we're going to do it again this year, hopefully, and hopefully it'll be just as successful. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do too. That's the whole kind of crowdfunding concept too, right? Where you're kind of breaking down projects to more specific amounts, and we're launching that at GW this fall. Hopefully, that's another project I've been working on. So it's great to see that. I know the students will be excited about it because they're able to benefit directly and see that impact. But they're also getting more involved in the fundraising aspect too. So we're using their pull on social media. I mean, we may not have celebrities involved with that, but like yours was probably successful as well from the peer-to-peer aspect of it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going
to try to do. We definitely asked folks to tweet stuff out. And we did have, like I said, a few people do it. People with a good number of followers did. But you know, we learned there's ways that we probably could have done it better, but you know, I'm happy because in general we hit our goal and surpassed it by 50%. So that's all that matters, really.
Yeah. Great. Did you get to meet any of the celebrities?
I recorded Charles Esten myself. Actually, I recorded every single one of the videos, but, the ones that tweeted it out, I have not met. Some of our more famous alums. I think the only country music star I've ever met that's connected with Belmont is Vince Gill. He is an alum. I know. Jackie doesn't know who Vince Gill is.
I feel like I need to learn country music just to have conversations with Logan about Belmont, because I don't know any of these people. And I feel like I'm supposed to be like, wow, cool, they're all alumni, that's great. And I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I'll listen to them after this.
You know
show.
Who Brad Paisley is, though, right?
I do know Brad Paisley.
Trisha Yearwood? Josh Turner?
Sounds familiar.
The song that made him a star is actually one he wrote on campus when he was going here. Florida Georgia Line?
I know Florida Georgia Line.
That's big.
They both went to Belmont. One was on the baseball team. And they actually met at Belmont too, and that's where they started. Who else is famous?
This is where he starts making it up.
Well, no, Gordon Kennedy is one of our well-known alums, and I actually did a video with him, but he is a songwriter, so you probably have heard his songs.
Right, but I don't know who he is.
Right, the Change the World song by Eric Clapton.
I know Eric Clapton. I don't know any of his music, apparently.
He won a Grammy for it.
I feel like I'm losing listeners for us by not knowing any of these people. Or just losing friends. Probably just losing friends.
Or you can just make an associated playlist on Spotify that would be released.
I should.
It like
well,
goes,
kind of the point is Belmont is, Belmont is a well-known music school. So we have some famous alumni.
Okay.
That would be a great playlist.
I did not know that. That's great.
Yeah. So that's kind of how that works. I don't think I've ever talked about it on the podcast very much, but, you know. It's about one Belmont? Of those things.
No. You've never talked about Belmont on the podcast.
I usually talk about the stuff I do.
Logan loves to talk about Belmont.
I'm some kind of marketing guy for them.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, we do the same thing. Well, Holy Mary, we just talk about Thomas Jefferson and John Stewart always.
Yep.
And now Charles Edison. We'll take him back from you. Thank you.
Yoink.
And then... GW is all about Kerry Washington and their scandal watch nights, and obviously being a school in DC, it's a pretty big deal there.
So she's a GW alum.
She is a GW alum. She was an RA at GW.
Kerry Washington's awesome. I'm not going to talk about Scandal for my listeners that have not seen Scandal and don't want it spoiled, but Scandal is a great show and she's amazing. So
counting down the days till it comes back.
Can't wait. Oh, and I want to like have a whole conversation, but I don't want to spoil. But that's awesome. Does she ever like come back to campus and like say hey? Probably not.
I think she spoke at their commencement a couple years ago, pretty recently.
She's probably awesome as a commencement speaker. I can see her.
Oh, she was really inspirational. If anyone wants to look up her speech on YouTube, it's great.
I'm sure it's there. Yeah, we'll find it and put it in the show notes. For this episode, because that would be great to listen to. She's a fantastic human. That's so cool.
Yeah. As a higher ed nerd, I will every once in a while just go back and search commencement speeches on YouTube and find all the best ones.
And some really cool people too.
So it's just whenever you're feeling a little inspired for the day, you need that.
It's actually smart. That's a good way to get some inspiration.
That's one way.
Leech off the graduating classes.
All their hopes and dreams.
Yeah. Who like barely listened to those. I'll admit, like, I did not really listen to my commencement speech. It was like, because you're having that moment of panic of like, oh my God, like, it's over. Like, it's over right now. Like, what am I going to do?
I think when you're going through commencement, you're just thinking about, all right, where's my mom? Is grandma going to get back to the hotel okay?
Exactly. Like, where am I?
I'm really hot in this commencement outfit.
Yep.
And I'm taking a selfie with my friend.
Yep. Snapchatting or like going through Twitter. Oh my God. Everyone was tweeting during my commencement. It was crazy.
Wow. I was doing none of those things during my commencement.
Right. Because you had your commencement back in 1950 where Twitter wasn't a thing.
Or 2005.
I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
10 years ago.
No live.
I think like, I don't know. I always wondered, you know, if it's advantageous for a school to kind of jump in to Twitter during commencement, like encourage your students, like, you know, they're kind of not really paying attention. I don't want to say encourage them not to pay attention and like surf Twitter and give them a hashtag or something like that, but like kind of just bite the bullet and be like, our students are on their cell phones during commencement. Like, how are we going to get them to do something productive, like on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever? Because of course they have like the graduation hashtags that happens every year. But I don't know, like, do you tell people to like tweet during the commencement address? Like, I don't know. So I just about
tweet the highlights from the commencement address and just have retweet, at least they're reading it then if
that's
they're not
true.
Listening to it.
Yeah, like have the school like basically do the Spark Notes version. Like, here you go. Like, here's all the stuff you're not paying attention to. Logan's shaking his head. Why are you so disappointed in my thought? I'm not like ultimately suggesting it. I just wanted to bring it up as a conversation.
No, it's totally cool. I'm not shaking my head at that. I'm just shaking my head at, in my day, it was Cliff Notes, not Spark Notes.
I'm sorry. I'll translate for you, your generation, Logan. The Cliff Notes version.
the early millennials.
It is funny to see the different, the different points that universities jump into. When do they get in their big campaigns, and what outlets are they using? Like, I'm trying to think of, GW launched Snapchat around the holidays. They released their holiday video, and that's like their grand,
That's opening. Smart. That's a good way to do it.
It wasn't just a one day they ran and showed up and
were on Snapchat. Nothing like showing that holiday video only one time so no one can ever watch it again or share it with their friends.
Well, you also are going to email it out and put it on Facebook and tweet it. Like, it's in other places. But I think that's a smart move. Like, you know, like, we to say, like, surprise, we have Snapchat, versus like, hey, we have Snapchat, here's our holiday video. Like, you know, those are two ways that go about doing the same thing. I think it was smart. High five to GW, in my opinion. Logan's looking a little judgy, but whatever.
A lot of people get judgy, I think, on different, as we launch into different social. I mean,
I'm not judgy about Snapchat. I am judgy about Snapchat because all I ever see is my colleagues complaining about how crappy it is.
Snapchat does kind of suck.
But if you're gonna announce it, they don't want to be helpful. They don't want to. I mean, just people uploading images for geotags. I mean,
yeah, apparently that's.
Really, I mean, just.
I don't know how to do that.
It's like if you have an .edu address, they just like completely disavow you.
Yeah.
It's
really hard to do it.
It's kind of hard for me to be super excited about any kind of social network that could care less about brands wanting to use it, except for specific brands that they choose. Like with their Snapchat news stories and stuff. So, you know, I feel like Snapchat's trying to be a whole lot of things and really not doing a good job of doing it, I guess. But that's just me.
I could see that. I don't know.
It's just me. And to be honest, I don't have hours and hours to sit there and argue with them about this or that. Our students use it as a messaging tool to message each other, and I think that's great and awesome. And it's cool that they're using it, but I don't have the time or effort at this moment or see the value in it just yet. Now, for admissions and stuff like that, I can see that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But, you know, I'm just not there yet. They haven't convinced me that it is a place that, A, they care about people, because it doesn't seem like they do.
No, I think you're right. I don't think they do care about random organizations wanting to use it, because as soon as, you know, too many organizations are there, that's when their market's going to run away.
Yeah, but they're going to have to make they're going to have to make money on this thing at some point.
Yeah, how is that going to happen? Ads?
I don't know that. Yeah. That is a question I don't know.
If I'm getting Snapchat like ads, like not a thing.
Yep.
That's like all I can see is like Adidas just Snapchatted you, like in your face.
Hey, Facebook is doing a great job of ads with Instagram. I don't even notice it half the time.
That's true.
That I'm being advertised to. I just see something interesting. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I rarely, I mean, I see the sponsored thing when I look for it, but I actually think that Instagram does a really good job of that. Yeah. And I think Snapchat could do that, but you know, they've got to start caring. And I don't, maybe it's not a point of them caring. Maybe they just don't have enough people to handle the number of, you know, things that are happening, because growing pains always happen to a social network about now. It happened to Twitter. I mean, we had the Failwell forever.
What?
See the Failwell?
The Failwell. Yes. I remember the Failwell.
Yeah, we used to see it all the time. Twitter used to go down all the time.
Crash all the time.
Now it hardly ever does.
Yeah, Twitter makes me laugh with their new feature of, you know, while you were away.
Yeah, like, no.
Like, do you like this? And I always say no.
I keep saying no.
I do not like it.
I support the no. Every time I'm like, no, Twitter, please stop. Please make it stop.
Though,
it's so dumb.
Every now and then, I see something that I missed while I was away. And
right,
that was
too.
Interesting that I retweet.
But it's like, maybe I feel like Twitter's anyway. A little bit of like you snooze, you lose. Like Twitter, you got to be smart about. Like I have lists going. Like I have my Twitter very organized. I do miss stuff, but it's like the same. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that while you were away thing.
No, I think I'm using Twitter more for to get more instant news yes. and what's relevant at that very moment, not what happened.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
The thing I'm skeptical about is Periscope. Have you guys talked about that a lot?
I have not experienced Periscope, and so I probably won't be able to contribute much to a conversation about it, but I would like to learn more about Periscope.
NACAC has a 5K. Did you know that? Did you know NACAC had a 5K?
No, I didn't.
See, while you were away, boom!
I don't follow that. Like, I would never know that.
And look at this. Look at this. Chris Hardwick got acquired by the Hearst Corporation.
That's something that's really that relevant to me.
He got married. I mean, he's getting married.
I want to go to the Periscope conversation because I don't know anything about Periscope.
It's a live streaming app made by Twitter.
Helpful?
Why isn't it? Anything live streaming is helpful.
How long can I live stream?
As long as your battery lasts or your data.
So it's through my phone.
That's correct. Or your iPad. I use my iPad sometimes.
And so is my live streaming recorded? Like if I'm live streaming commencement, is that
helpful? It's recorded to your phone. And it stays on the internet for 24 hours.
Ooh, sounds like Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
Except it is longer than 15 seconds. And it is a live stream. So say I have I want to give a tour of campus. Mm-hmm. I've actually done a tour of a building, had 100 people watch. Now they didn't watch the whole thing through, but they watched pieces of it. We do press conferences. That's pretty popular. Ribbon cuttings.
So I guess the difference between that and Google Hangout is that you're able to film it rather than just talk.
Well, it's a live stream. It's literally a live Google stream Hangouts on your phone.
Too.
Huh?
Yeah.
But isn't Google Hangouts too?
Google Hangouts is different in a way.
It's kind of more like a live chat, I guess, because Google Hangout you have to be... Well, I guess you could do a Google Hangout like from your laptop or from your tablet. I don't know. Every time I've tried a Google Hangout, it's been like, eh. Like, it's never been
not great
quality. So, essentially, with Periscope, hold on.
Do I have to have, like, a Periscope account to watch your Periscope?
You have to have a Twitter account. Your Twitter account is your Periscope account.
But isn't that kind of limiting, then? Like, I don't know.
What do you mean, limiting?
Like, I keep going back to, like, the commencement example. Like, I was like, oh, Periscope might be cool for, like, live streaming for, you know, grandma and grandpa that couldn't get a ticket because...
Well, that's when you just regular live stream with actual cameras and you make it look good.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking for a lot of schools that don't have access to something like that.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. I'm just
putting
all the
situations together. If you have a YouTube channel, you can live stream with that.
I'm just putting all the situations together in this conversation. And so,
let me make sure I'm not connected to the university account.
Oh, I hope you are. That would be great.
Okay, I'm not. Okay, so literally... You type in, I'm doing at HES podcast.
Wait, now I want to go on my Twitter feed and see the magic.
So, you see that? So I'm doing HES podcast, and then you just hit start broadcast.
So how would I know you were doing it? I would have to be on Twitter.
And I just tweeted it out.
Oh my gosh. My first Periscope.
So we're doing the podcast. Baby's first Periscope. You can see Jackie there watching. We're actually talking about Periscope because Jackie doesn't know what Periscope is.
I see the tweet. Wow. It's live on Periscope. I'm doing.
Say hi, Anna. Hi. Oh, wait. No one can actually hear you because you're on my headphones.
Oh, that's awkward. Oh. That's... Okay, so I'm going to click it. What happens when I click it now? Okay, I'm clicking. Periscope.tv.
So anyway, now you can hear
watch
Jackie.
Myself. That's too meta. I can't watch myself.
Open in app, but I don't have the app. Can I just...
Look at this. I have like 4 people watching.
That's creepy.
I know, right?
I'm not even one of those people yet.
Wow. Okay, I guess that almost has me sold on it.
It's pretty neat. So you can see on the screen like what's happening. So see? And these are the people that are listening. Hey, someone just hearted it. See the little hearts coming up? There we go.
Oh my gosh, there's hearts.
Someone say hi.
It is? The people love us.
Yes.
Can we see who's watching?
There are people watching. Yes.
Yeah, but who? Do we know who?
See, look, they're saying hi. See? See the little messages?
Do we know who the person is?
Yes, it says JNew385 and Versace Cactus and Miss Something and John Blankenship. Hey, John.
Oh, hey, John.
John from work. How's That's it going?
One person that we know. The rest of the people we don't know.
The rest. Do you think people just troll Periscope all day?
Probably. Well, I will say though that I'm trying to open it in the app, and I don't have the app, and I'm clicking, and nothing's happening.
Well, that's why you just tap the thing up there at the top that says live.
Open in app. Boink, boink, boink.
You don't have to open an app. You can just play
it. It's telling me I have to. Oh. No, see? It goes right to open an app. Oh.
Jackie's useless.
I'm not useless.
Well, if she's the target market for who they want.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she should just download the app, right?
It should be easier.
Yeah, I'm trying to. You would think that if I push this giant open an app button, it would function, but it doesn't. So now I can't function. You know? Wow, what a cool experience. That was so fun.
That is cool. Live demo.
Wow, you were not, on the panel. Were you on the podcast? You were on the Periscope. That's
big. I don't even know what is more fabulous about that.
Yeah, you're on a lot of...
I've always wanted to be on a podcast. I've gotten really into podcasts in the past year.
Yeah.
And that's why we started
Versace
this podcast.
Cactus says you need to download the app to open it in the app.
Well, that's crap. I should be able to click the button. They can't hear me complaining about it. I should be
actually
able to
they can totally
the
hear you complaining about it. I
oh, you unplugged it? Thank you. Username with a cactus in it. I tried to open it, and I tried to immediately download the app where it told me that I could, and I could not. But I just downloaded it, so I'm skipping all the things, and I'm going to sign in with Twitter as myself, not as my other accounts.
So they're saying it works like FaceTime. We can hear you.
I'm aware. Okay, guys, I said that you can't hear me because Logan has his earbuds still in his face, and I thought that it was still plugged in the computer, and that's where that was coming from. So
see, they're seeing this. They're seeing me stick the phone up that. See, I still have the things in my ear.
Wow,
there's something kind of meta about
people
this.
People are chatty.
Okay,
very meta.
While we're here, Periscope friends, subscribe to the podcast, highered.social. Subscribe to it, and you'll actually be mentioned in this coming week's podcast.
Yes.
This is like future and past all at the same time.
Wow.
This is really exciting.
And just tweet it out, and it'll time hop you. That's my favorite time hop kind of thing, where it says,
they're asking how the girl on the left is. That would be you, Anna. How are you doing? You haven't been talking.
Aww. Jackie's been dominating the conversation. Taking it all in. So glad to have so many followers so engaged.
This is Anna. What do you do, Anna? What's your job?
Wow, people are sending in questions.
I care about you. This is
That's amazing. I work at GW, and I work in communications and fundraising for student affairs.
And that's Jackie. She's the co-host. And that's me. I'm
the
Logan.
Other co-host. That's so funny.
So
you guys should check out this Periscope thing. All right, you sold me.
So you're sold on Periscope now, right?
Yeah, I am.
It's pretty
for
awesome.
Selfish reasons.
Two thumbs up. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, guys. Periscopers, cactus friend.
I think I'm getting messages here.
Totally what are my messages say? Are we getting followed? You can follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Just saying.
Okay.
So I think what I'm learning already about Periscope is that it's like, I get why it's like Twitter now. It's like when you
instant
a tweet chat, you're sending in questions, you're participating with
yeah
the person on the other side. Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to end this Periscope because I'm being too loud, according to my wife. So I will see you guys later. Say bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in.
So now, Logan, now that's saved to your phone, right?
Yes.
And so what we can do now is we can take that ridiculous video and we can post it on our website and people can watch us fail at Periscope.
Oh, my gosh. Whale fail? Is that where fail this whale. Is fail whale?
Fail whale. Oh.
So here's all the people that watched.
Wow.
Wow,
that's so crazy. So many friends.
And people that were spamming.
Yeah, we had 35 viewers.
Wow, in like what, 5 minutes that we were
actually filming? No, sorry, 50. 50 viewers.
Shut up. That's crazy. Wow, we're so popular.
So we had 5% retention, which is why we have 50
unsurprising.
Viewers.
Very unsurprising. So do you think they all got to that link from your Twitter post?
Well, not just that, but literally in Periscope, you can see everything that's happening live. And as you can see, we popped up there at the top. So a bunch of the people that were watching never heard of us. In the U.S. itself, you can see in North America the number of ones that were happening. There's about 100 happening, and we were the only one in our geographic area. So in Tennessee, we were the only one happening, so that probably helped a lot. In fact, in all of Tennessee, in all of the Southeast, we were probably one of like 5 going on right now. So,
wow. Making
that were happening live. History. So it popped up in people and they saw it.
My question, and this is just like obviously my, you know, faith in humanity. How are we ensuring that like the stuff that's being periscoped is like PG-13, if you will?
It's not. There's no way to.
Interesting.
You can report, I think.
Kind of like Twitter. You could report.
Yeah.
Appropriate posts, right?
Facebook. Huh.
Wow. I learned so much.
That was a really exciting thing that just happened. It was. I will say we've had some pretty exciting episodes, but I think that moment was like right up at the top. That was really cool. The podcast. Oh man, Ellen DeGeneres has a Periscope.
Yeah, everybody has a Periscope.
Wow.
It's just that they don't Periscope all the time. Huh?
I was just seeing Jackie must have gotten her app to work.
Yes, I finally downloaded it, but of course I missed being able to watch it live, which I'm not that upset about. Actually, I think wait.
You can like go back and go back and watch it for 24 hours.
Well, how would I find it? Like I can't.
You just look for Logan.
I see someone is waiting near you. Actually, really close to where you live, Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy. Oh wait, no, he's near the Grand Ole Opry. He's waiting for something to start.
That's just so weird.
I feel so intrusive now on people's lives. But at the same time, they're putting it out there, so I don't feel that bad.
Yep, that's social media in general.
Yep. That is for sure.
That's so funny.
Just had to make sure I wasn't on the university account, you know.
Oh, I hope that would be great. That would have been hilarious.
So great. So your university is using Periscope then?
Yes.
Okay.
And by the university, I mean Logan.
Nice.
Because I am social media. Or at least most of it. For the flagship accounts, at least. So Periscope is a fun.
You are the royal we. That's funny.
Yep, I found it. Oh, man, I can't wait to watch this Periscope.
Oh, my God, it's going to be a good one.
There it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, can I do anything to it? No, I can only watch it.
Oh, you can't promote it or share it. Can you tweet it out?
No, I can only just, like, watch it. Yeah, oh, wait, share. Share on Twitter. Ha ha! Right now. Watched on Periscope.
Oh.
Doing it. Wow, that link is really ugly. To not send tweet. That's amazing.
Huh. So anyway, that's Periscope.
That's so funny.
And.
Wow. I love it.
I hate to say it, but that's about all the time we have for the show this week.
But what a great ending. We were on Periscope, guys. Great.
I'm into it.
It's really exciting.
So thanks fun. For letting me be a part of that.
We're so happy that you came to Periscope with us.
Yes. So fun.
Well, thanks, Anna. We appreciate being on the show, of course. And listeners, thanks for sticking with us, listening, and perhaps even watching us this week. If you want to be on the show, either on Periscope or just on our audio podcast, definitely send us a tweet at HES Podcast. We would love to have you. Or if you just have some questions for us, we'd love to answer those too. Don't forget to visit us on highered.social and subscribe.
Thanks, guys.